and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
How about that?
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar sports byline facilities in the city by the bay, the world's most beautiful city, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 36 plus years now of being often imitated but never duplicated. Here I sit, the modest one. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. As I said, often imitated but never duplicated. For this next hour, this is the Saturday show, Saturday 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time, of course, live each and every Saturday. That's a one-hour show. The Sunday show, still same time, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That airs, of course, on Sunday for 2 hours. So 11 a.m. Sundays and Saturdays, Ring Talk Live Worldwide on many of these same sports outlets. Talk about Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Channel 211, the American Forces Network. I keep going and going, but the bottom line is we need to tech some combat sports. Last night, ESPN had a card on a couple of heavyweights, a guy named by the name of Carlos Tokum. Call him what you want. He's a world-ranked heavyweight. But, you know, the guy that came to fight him didn't come to fight. Jerry Forrest showed up with a great record, 25-3. Talk about a reluctant warrior, man. I mean, this guy must have a sack the size of a hamster. You know what I'm trying to say? No nuts. Bottom line, end of the night, Carlos was a prohibitive winner on the card. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside. Look at the world of boxing and MMA. The UFC rocking tonight, of course, from Dubai. Not from Fight Island, from Dubai. We'll talk about that in depth a little bit later. The PhD of boxing, Mr. Socrates Palmer, will join us in just a few minutes. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide from the Sports Byline Studios.
Decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it 12 minutes past the hour on the Saturday edition, of course, live on Sports Byline. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, lots of things are happening in the world of boxing. Paco Valcarcel, the president of the World Boxing Organization, our sponsor, our leader, of course. He is trying to put together a lightweight tournament, of course, involving Ryan Garcia. Why not? King Rai, 21-0, having problems with Oscar De La Hoya now, but we'll see what happens with that. But I think that Oscar De La Hoya has got the future of boxing right there. I know people say to me, you know, the Gervonta Davis is better. Maybe these other guys are better. But not when it comes to selling tickets and looking good. I think Ryan Garcia is going to sell tickets, look good, and I think that left hook is going to make a statement. Now, the pun of the day. I bring you back to June of 1985. I'm kicking it in Las Vegas. Don King's there. Of course, Don King's got a fight going on. It's going to be Jose Luis Ramirez and Hector Camacho for the WBC lightweight title. I think this is going to take place at the Riviera Hotel. So me and Hector hit town, and we hit town a couple of days early, and we've got some friends. You know, when you hit Vegas, you always got friends that want to come, so they meet you. Girls almost wanted to pick you up at the airport. I kid you not. Anyway, bottom line is me and Hector out having a good time in Vegas, just kicking it and having a good time. And he says to me, he says, you know, what are we gonna do tomorrow? I said, I don't know, man. He said, well, he goes, you know, I'm gonna go to Lake Mead or something like that. I said, okay, go to Lake Mead. I said, I got things to do, blah blah blah, with Don King. So Don King says we're gonna have a press conference that day. So the press conference ends up getting canceled. They end up having a press meeting at the swimming pool, and this turns out to be the Las Vegas Hilton Hotel. I got my hotels wrong. Anyway, we're at the Hilton Hotel. So we're at the Las Vegas Hilton, and we're going to have this press conference, and you know, it's going to be like a little get-together at the swimming pool. Just is kicking it. Like, there's 8 or 10 of us, Mike Marley, you know, some of the big wigs at those times. I mean, some of the big heavyweights of boxing, right? And, of course, that included me. So I was there, pound for pound. I was probably one of the hottest guys going in the 1990s. I mean, man, my column was widely read. It was probably one of the most widely read columns in all of the boxing world because I wrote for the boxing trade paper, Boxing Update, and Boxing and Boxing's Flash magazine. They used to call me Flash. So anyway, we're kicking back poolside, Las Vegas Hilton Hotel, you know, and Camacho's supposed to come out and talk to the media. So, well, he's about 15 minutes late, you know, and I'm looking at the clock. It was back in the days when I wore a watch. I still wear a watch now. But back in the days when I really wore a watch, and I'm looking at my watch saying, man, what's up? He's 15 minutes late. So anyway, Hector's not there, and I'm starting to bitch. And the PR people, they're looking at me like, shut up, man. Just sit down and shut up. Shut up. Shut up. No, no, no. Where's he at? He's 15 minutes late. What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I sit back down, and I think I'm doing something, talking to somebody, and this and that. And I hear, hey, 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 it's Macho time. You know, and so I hear a Macho Man, but I don't see him yet. I don't see him. I'm looking around. I don't see him. What I do see is this little old lady sitting in a wheelchair next to the swimming pool, because we're all out near the swimming pool. Don King had this press meeting out near the swimming pool. I guess it was about, as I said, about 15 or 20 of his media members there. So this little old lady sort of wrapped up sitting next to the swimming pool there, you know, and grabbing up the sun. And this and that, and I hear, Macho, Macho, it's Macho time, Macho time. And all of a sudden, there's Hector in all his glory wearing a cape. He had some crazy cape on, looking like Batman, I kid you not. So he walks into the area, we're watching him, and he's walking towards us, and then he turns around, and he starts walking the other direction, and I can't figure out what's going on yet, until he walks up to the little old lady in the wheelchair and pushes her in the swimming pool! He pushed this little old lady in the swimming pool! I kid you not, my heart nearly fell out of my chest! I couldn't believe it. I was like stunned. I was like, oh my God. I didn't know whether to jump in to try to save this. I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what to do, right? Anyway, bottom line is a few seconds later, the lady floats up to the top of the pool. It was a stunt. Hector Camacho pulled that stunt on all of us. That was one of the greatest stunts of all time. May he rest in peace. The man I named the Harlem Heckler, and he loved it. Hector Macho Camacho. Rest in peace, champ. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Coming to us live, of course, from the Bronx Bomber himself. Talk about Mr. Socrates Palmer, boxing's only PhD. Did I ever tell you that story before about Camacho pushing that little old lady in the pool?
No, brother. That's, I mean, I'm not shocked, but I am.
But it was a stunt. She was a swimmer from the University of Nevada at Las Vegas. You know what I'm saying? So she stayed under the water for like about 15 or 20 seconds, and I'm an ex-cop. I'm freaking out. I don't know whether to jump in. I don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? My instincts are jump in and save this woman. Jump in and save this woman, right? And the whole nine yards, it was a woman. She was like a 19-year-old female student at UNLV. She was part of the swim team there. But she held her breath underwater, and she scared the snot out of me. And when I say snot, I mean another word. But you know, straight up, it was pretty scary. But that's Hector. That's what Hector was all about. Hector was a character, okay, all the way until the end. But he was a character. You know what I mean? I love being around. Remember the time that he called the ex-wife and basically called her a B-I-you-know-what? Because she didn't want to let me talk to my kid on the phone. But, I mean, he was just one of those guys that would reach out and do things for you that was absolutely stunning and surprising. Of course, his demise was the Colombian dust. Had he not been a cocaine addict, he'd still be alive today. Let's end the conversation on that. So, Socrates, how are you and the family, sir?
I'm doing well, Pedro. Doing well. The summer's here in New York. It's hot. It's been a very hot past week, but all is good.
Okay. Let's get the bad news out of the way first. A 47-year-old young man I know from that did some promotional work with me up there in Connecticut back in the days, back in the 90s, he passed away this week at the age of 47 from COVID. He was in good shape. He was a guy that walked a lot. He wasn't a runner or anything like that. But he was a guy that walked a lot. He wasn't overweight, didn't have any pre-existing conditions. He got it, and I talked to him. I only talked to him, Sock, maybe – two, three times a year, max. You know what I'm saying? This is one of those people you sort of keep in contact. Hey, what's up, Lutt? Anyway, so I talked to him about 5-6 weeks ago, and he says to me, you know what, man, this corona, this stuff is real. I said, yeah, I know it's real. He goes, I'm doing my best to stay away from it. So anyway, the old lady calls me about 2 weeks ago, and she says, he's in the hospital, and he's got COVID. So then she bummed me out because I knew he wasn't getting out, sock, when she said this, quote, he's on a ventilator, and he's going to need a lung transplant.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? So basically, it's over. You hear where I'm coming? I knew it was over, so I spent like the last 10 days or 2 weeks crying. I'm done crying. It's over with. The cut man's back. I got my week off vacation last week. It just happened to be, it was perfect timing. I don't think I could have done radio last week the way I was feeling, and the cut man was on vacation, so it sort of all just come together, but the bottom line is he's 47, got a 10-year-old kid, a 10-year-old kid. And, you know, we can't have – and, you know, in the old days, I would, like, get on a plane, man. I'd be on a red eye. You know, I'd just be on I would. And you can't do – you can't even go to a funeral. I mean, if I go back to North Philly, what am I going to do? Be on watching on TV back there?
Yeah, it's a very sad time.
Am I whining on the air to open the show here? I guess I am, Socrates. I apologize.
No, I'm not whining, brother. Not whining. You know, you're telling the story of a beloved person in your life, and it's a crazy historic time we're in.
And I'm gonna try to be cool on this one, but Isidore died. Isidore was Don King's driver. He was my buddy. He was my confidant. He told me things that I could never repeat and I will never repeat. And he was Don King's driver and is sort of like bodyguard for like 25 years. And Don, when I asked Don King about him a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, Don says to me, oh man, Blood gained too much weight. He can't move around no more. Something like that. Anyway, Isidore died this week at the age of 60. And I think that was COVID related, but here's a little Isidore story. He and Don King and Mike Tyson are going down a Florida highway. So Mike starts punching Don up in the back seat of the car. Okay. Mike starts slapping Don King around in the back of the car. So Isidore pulls over the car. So Isidore pulls over on the side of the road. So Isidore gets out and Mike gets out and he goes, what, you want some too? So Isidore didn't want none, but Mike was out of the car. So Isidore jumped back in the car and he took off and left Mike there on the highway. Okay? Right? So he comes back from Mike about 10 minutes later. You know what Mike did, right? Beat that ass. He didn't care whether the guy came back to rescue him or not. He left in the first place and beat poor Isler up. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Little tower of power here. Only so much oil on the ground. You've seen the price of gas lately. It's going up again. Why?
There is only so much oil.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I thought I would knock him out in the early rounds, but like I said, he brings excellent condition and he's determined.
Why didn't you go after him to try to knock him out when you knocked him down early in the third round?
I said, why get callous if I've been training for 2 months?
Here's the knockdown. Describe it to us as you see it.
Well, like I told Jimmy, the 1-2 with you, I'm going to get him all the time. But I wasn't going to get overexcited and play myself cheap. I said, I'll knock him out early if it happens. If not, if it's necessary, I go 12 rounds, and I did.
Did you go to school, so to speak, on what happened to Rosario when he knocked him down and then got knocked out himself?
No, because I knocked down a lot of fighters that still took my time. I'm just getting seasoned through every fight, and I'm pound for pound, I'm the best fighter pound for pound in the world. Bring him on. Bring him on. Mancini, I don't respect your opinion. Come on, baby. So I could knock you out.
Well, who are some of the fighters?
Bernard Willeker, you could get some, baby. You could get some too. Brian Boone, Jimmy Paul, Sammy Holmes, all your come on with it, baby. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Let's hear from you, Larry.
What about Aaron Pryor?
Aaron Pryor? Come on with it, baby. I got faith in you. You bounce back. I know you. Come on, baby. Come on with it. It's macho time.
It was macho time, June 1985. We're at the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas. That it was one hell of an evening, no doubt about that. Camacho pitches shutout over Jose Luis Ramirez. Without a doubt, it was like a mismatch. And, of course, Ramirez, a guy that I sparred a couple of rounds with in San Jose when I was, I guess, about 25, 26 years old. And he was slow then. I mean, I didn't even know he was a champ. They didn't even tell me he was a champ. Bottom line is they said they needed some left-handed sparring. And Chris Gomez said, you know, we got this Golden Glove fight coming up. Let's go down to San Jose and see if we get some sparring from Candy and those guys. So anyway, Candy Gonzalez and these guys, put me in there with this guy hoping that I guess he was going to get lit up. Didn't happen that way. But at the end of the day, I think I learned a little bit. He was slow. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That was a new Tower of Power song, by the way. It's called Look in My Eyes. It's a brand new hot song, of course. They got it out. And evidently, they're doing well on the charts. I don't know how you're doing well on the charts anymore when you can't sell records in record stores. But I'm sort of blown away by that. So they're selling the stuff digitally, whatever that means. I guess, Scott Socrates, you know a little bit about that, huh? It's all digital music now. They don't sell records or CDs anymore.
No, everything is downloaded on Spotify and iTunes and stuff like that. And I think a lot of people just listen to music on YouTube, you know, for free.
YouTube. I mean, YouTube star, it's in San Bruno, California. I drive by it often, okay, the headquarters. What a little ghetto thing it started out as being. I mean, it was people showing each other's videos, like backyard fights and wedding videos and all that kind of good stuff. And now they're like a multi-billion-dollar entity, so more power to them. Anyway, back to the subject at hand, subject of boxing. Tell me, Mr. PhD, what's on your mind this Saturday?
What's on my mind? I am a little jealous at the UFC, because they are actually putting a competitive top-notch fight tonight, and boxing, when it's their time to kind of, they have the spotlight to them, they're not doing that. You know, I appreciate the fights on ESPN, but, you know, they're pretty much, you know, there's no superstars on there, you know, and I wonder when. I know that Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder are supposed to fight, but that's in November. You know, I wonder who's going to be the one that's going to say, you know what, I'll fight in front of a studio, you know, in a studio, you know, without an audience, and see a fight that you say, you know what, these are maybe if not the two best or certainly, you know, in the discussion of the best in their weight class getting it on. So that's something that was crossing through my mind this weekend.
But it's hunger, man. I watched Carlos Takem and Jerry Forrest last night. Neither guy had any hunger. I'm telling you, those guys, with that tenacity, they wouldn't have made it through the Golden Glove finals with me. I'm telling you, I'd have ran them out of the ring. You can't come into a professional boxing match and be out there to entertain people like that and go there and do that dance they did last night. I mean, put it this way. It didn't do anything for boxing, and if you were watching it, you probably turned it off.
Yeah, I mean, it's C-level fights. Actually, you know, in fairness, that was supposed to be the showcase for Mr. PED, the biggest PED abuser we have in combat sports, Big
Don
Baby
King?
Miller. Huh?
Don King. Can you imagine Don King on steroids?
His hair would probably be a little shinier.
Listen, if he was back in the day, I'm telling you, man, he put me to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the phone would be buzzing at 6:15. He only took like 2.5 hours, 3 hours sleep.
Yeah, Don is supposed to be a legendary cyborg, and that, you know, he needs very little rest. But there's a lot of guys like that, you know. I don't know, and they tend to be really successful. Like Vince McMahon is supposed to be one of those type of guys. Donald Trump. It's some type of pact they must sign. But you know, they function on 3-4 hours sleep. You know, okay.
July 14th, ESPN is going to come back with the WBO junior lightweight title fight with Jamel Herring and Jonathan Oquendo. Is Herring a good fighter? I mean, I've seen him once or twice, and I'm going to leave this up to you because you're the boxing expert here.
No. I think he's a good fighter. Is he a great fighter? I think that's yet to be determined.
Are there any great fighters out there?
I think Lomachenko deserves that. I think he, you know,
even though you're picking the guy that's going to fight him, you're going with the other guy. You call Lomachenko the, whoa, run that by me. You're picking Teofimo.
Well, it's when you fight somebody, right? Okay. That, you know, that's part of the deal too. You know, maybe it's the right time, you know, to catch him. But are they great fighters? Manny Pacquiao at one point was a great fighter. Is he a great fighter now? No. Canelo Alvarez, maybe. He's a great ticket seller. Is he great? Probably, I'd have to say. But it's all subjective, P. You know that. Terence Crawford, I believe, is great, but he hasn't gotten a chance to really showcase that on a major stage.
Hold on 1 second. I'll bring in. I'm going to bring in Earl Spence. Hey, Earl, come in. How, Earl? How are you? So that was an interview with Earl Spence after being tossed out of that car 145 miles per hour. Am I wrong to say he's toast, or do you think he's going to be able to fight at a world-class level again? You're a PhD.
I would be shocked, brother. I really would be. I remember, I think the closest I could think of, Vinny Pazienza. You know, it broke his neck, but I don't think it was the same as this, you know. And, you know, Errol Spence is considered one of the elites, and he's going to, he's going to have to do it against an elite fighter, against Terence Crawford and any other top welterweight. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be the same at all. I can't see it. If he does, it's going to be the greatest one of the greatest comeback stories in the history of sports.
Okay. Vinny Pazienza breaks his neck at 135 pounds. He was a 135-pound fighter back then, so 140. So he moves up to 154. But in the meantime, he has this broken neck, so they give him steroids, and he takes steroids. And according to the head of the Nevada State Athletic Commission at that point in time, he had like 19 times the normal amount of testosterone in his system, okay? So knowing that, I knew that on the backside. So I said to him on the radio, I said, you know, Vinny's on Flintstone vitamins. There's no doubt in my mind. Vinny's on steroids. I mean, look at him. So Vinny comes after me at the Tyson McNeely press conference, a pre-fight press conference, right? And he comes after me, blah, 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 blah. And I had to, you know, to put Vinny like in his spot. Come on, Vinny, be serious, man. We knew you were taking that stuff medically. I didn't say you were taking it to cheat, but you did get some positive effects out of it. I mean, look at your body. You can never be like that. Anyway, he would later admit to it, a porn star. What was there anything Vinny Pazienza didn't do?
Vinny was a great character. A guy that got the most out of limited ability. One of those guys that was an NBC star. He's, you know, he fought a lot on free TV. Mm-hmm. Good guy. Met him a couple of times. Always respectful. You know, he loves the attention. Very likable guy, outside of the ring, at least with me. You know, Vinny, he's one of those guys from the 80s. You know, he lived the life. You know, he's hanging around with Andrew Dice Clay and, you know, the Duva camp. You know, he was him and Greg Haugen, I think, did they fight the last 15-rounder?
No, the last 15-rounder was Jorge Paez
and
Calvin Grove down there. Hey, the Dice man, I had him on the show one time. It didn't go too well.
Really?
Well, you know, I mean, I tried to tape him in Vegas, right? So I taped this clip, and you know, he was being himself, and I couldn't put that on the radio, like Bobby Slay. I did a thing with Bobby Slay in his dressing room one time with some of the greatest comedy of all time, capping on me, but I couldn't put it on the radio.
I mean, Andrew Dice Clay is in my top five as far as, you know, just a great shtick, and okay, just getting back to Vinny Pazienza and come back full circle with Camacho. They had a great fight, and Hector did him in, and just a great character. There are no more characters in boxing anymore. I think that's sorely missed. The last one you could say maybe Prince Nassim Hamed, you know, and who's going to be the next superstar?
Stick around after the break. We'll spend a couple more minutes with Socrates Palmer talking about the future of boxing before I go USC. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline. Even though the rain is falling down, the sun comes through the clouds, and everything will be all right.
I think that the Affordable Care Act, you know, as long as it wasn't a name, the Obamacare, it would pass. They made the test already. But the fact of the matter is, at the essence of it all, is people need health care.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him. So I see him getting himself in good condition so that he can fire back. Never been one to say die. Never been one to hide out. He comes on damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is the greatest fighter of all times next to me.
So we're kicking it in Big Apple, New York City. Of course, I guess my current guest, Mr. Socrates Palmer, knows about that. Don King was kicking it, man, when he was throwing cards at the Garden with Mike Tyson, and he wasn't having Tyson. I mean, there were cards with Chavez and big name guys back then, man, in Holyfield and this and that. But the Garden was rocking back in those days. The Garden can rock again. The fighters are there. I think Teofimo Lopez and Vasyl Lomachenko can fill the Garden, but with the current status of health and things like that, we can't fill a Garden safely, can we, Socrates?
No. It's going to be a while. I mean, they just said that Broadway was about 3 weeks ago is going to be dark all year, the rest of the year. So I can't see live sporting events, Broadway shows, anything like that happening, you know, certainly not until mid-2021. You know, at this rate, you know, Yankee Stadium will be empty this year.
And this, you know, all kidding aside, but this must be really tough for people in the skin industry.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure that they're suffering. there was actually jokes with the NBA starting up. They have this bubble in Orlando, and some ladies that maybe were looking for some work, apparently they were cut off at the door. They weren't allowed in the facility, so.
No surprise, no surprise there. Listen, of all the guys that are tricks, and they are in all different sports, I've covered football, basketball, baseball, didn't cover any hockey, but in the NBA, I will say this, in boxing, and the music industry, I tell you what, the guys in the NBA, they go for more leg action than musicians do. I mean, they're like, they're freaks, man. Unbelievable. Yeah. Change of subjects real quick. Gennady Golovkin, of course, is he going to be is that what they're going to be forced to do? They're going to be forced to put him and Canelo back together? Because Canelo seems to be like a rudderless ship right now.
Yeah, they haven't said some names. I heard it also. The fight that would probably make the most sense and most credibility is a guy that many people thought beat Golovkin, Devchenko. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he definitely earned it. You know, he made Golovkin look like an old man that night. And I don't think there would be much buzz of a Canelo-Golovkin 3 fight, to be honest with you. Something's got to happen. DAZN, you know, is paying him a lot of bucks, and you're going to need a good dance partner. I also heard Caleb Smith may get that shot. That's also a good sell. But I don't know about you, but I don't need to see a Golovkin-Canelo 3 at all.
I don't need to see Golovkin again. I mean, I give him props. He made some money. Let him go, man. He's past his peak. Listen, he pushed it for a long time. I mean, there was a point in time there where I thought he was 99 going on 115. But, you know, he was able to prevail, and he kept winning fights, and he was winning fights sometimes in spectacular fashion. But I think he ran into that young man from your neck of the woods, Peter Quillen. Was it Quillen?
Danny Jacobs,
exactly. Yeah, Danny Jacobs sort of took that ship apart. Now, Roberto Duran's wife is, if she's not out of the hospital now, she's about to get out of the hospital, of course. She came down with COVID after Roberto KO'd COVID in 7 days. God bless him, huh?
Yeah, man. The heart of a champion. You know, I was very happy to see that. I was following all his kids online to see, you know, because it seems like they had the updates the quickest, Irichelle and his other son. Yeah. So very happy. I hope their mom pulls through as well. yeah. in the same fashion.
So are you, what, all right, now real quick before I let you go and go to USC, what is TikTok or TikTok? I mean, I always thought there was them things that, TikTok, that freshen my breath.
You know, I know it's out there. Do I know what it is? No. It's some sort of video app. Kids have been on it, a lot. Couples do little cute videos. I know that it's based out of China, and things with the U.S. and China are not the best. And,
really?
You know, that's all I know about that.
Really? Okay. Anyway, you have the best of weeks, and tell the agent I didn't return her call, but I promise I will this week.
No problem. I'll get you out the doghouse. Don't worry about it.
You are the man. Socrates Palmer, folks, our pure PhD, of course, here.
Real quick.
What?
Who you got, Masvidal or Usman?
I would think Usman's a 4-1 favorite. I mean, I would love to see Masvidal win, but on paper, it looks like an Usman win.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for Masvidal too. But I think Usman is a tough dude.
Yeah, a monster. Take care, Sock.
Yeah. Peace, brother. Thank you.
The great Socrates Palmer on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Switching gears, folks. Talking USC, of course, the MMA world. Why am I getting clipped here as far as texts are concerned? Here's a text line. I got a couple of texts. Evidently, you already know the number, but 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. That's the studio text line. But I got a couple of texts here just ripping me up. Listen, I'm a Camacho fan. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he touched me both personally and professionally. So you're not going to hear me knock him on the show, whether I know he had chemical problems all throughout his career. I mean, when I first met him, I mean, he was doing blow. It's just something not from the hood, the Harlem Heckler. That's when I named him, and of course he loved it. But if you're going to expect me to say disparaging things about Hector Camacho on this show, kiss my you know what. Anyway, Ring Talk Live Worldwide switches gears, of course, to USC on Fight Island. What the hell is Fight Island? Well, the USC, of course, they weren't able to put fights on in Florida. It didn't work out too well. And they were doing them in Vegas. And the Vegas fights were working out okay, but they couldn't get any live audiences. And nobody was really putting any big money behind it. So they decided they would put together Fight Island. Fight Island was supposed to be some island somewhere where it was actually like an island. And it was supposed to be like, you know, people would come there and they would fight, but there wouldn't be any fans or anything like that. They would fight on the beach. Anyway, Dana was running a big con. It turned out to be all about Dubai. They're going to do this in Dubai, in a resort in Dubai. And, of course, this is nothing strange to anybody else as far as the world of Dubai is concerned. Of course, they love spending money on sports. I was over there, guys, in 2013 trying to close a deal. The deal didn't get closed, and I ended up losing 15 grand. So I'm not a big fan of Dubai. If you have 20 grand, because I had to pay for my own airfare to get back. So I lost 20 grand on that trip to Dubai. So if you hear me grind my teeth when I talk about Dubai, that's the reason why. Anyway, back to the USC. Tonight, Kamaru Usman, of course, the once-beaten USC champion, bad dude, 170 pounds, of course, taking on Jorge Masvidal. Pound for pound, he's a bad dude as well, but if you look at his record, it's very unimpressive. It's almost like 500. He's lost like 13, 14, 5, 6. So, I mean, but he's a veteran. He's one of those guys that sort of learned how to fight on the job. He was fighting in the backyard with YouTube legend Kimbo Slice. I kid you, that's what he was doing, fighting in the backyards with Kimbo back in the day, winning fights like that. That's how he learned. So, I mean, as he stepped up the ladder in competition, he beat guys he wasn't supposed to beat. They brought him in as the opponent, and now he's got this BMF belt, whatever that means, a bad mother, you know what, I guess. That's sort of like that infamous pound-for-pound title or something like that. So he holds that, and now he stepped in at the last minute, within a week, to fight Kamaru Usman. Of course, Usman, the 170-pound champion. Now, this is all sounds like this guy, like, came in at 195 or 200 pounds, and he's going to come down to 170. And I'm talking about Masvidal, and then he wasn't training. This is all a con. Masvidal training off. He trained his ass off throughout this entire thing. He thought something might have broke as far as one of the fighters were concerned, as far as the main event was concerned. He thought something might have broke, and he could have put Dana in a position to make Dana beg. And Dana came begging. I'm talking about Massa, Dana what? Massa of the top rank plantation. Well, he came crawling to Masvidal on his knees, crawling. Got holes in his pants. He had to crawl from Vegas to Florida. Crawled. So anyway, Masvidal got exactly what he wanted. Remember before when he said they weren't giving me my money, they weren't giving me this, they weren't giving me the percentage I wanted, this and that. Well, now all of a sudden that, you know, Dana was in a bad position, with Gilbert Burns falling out from the positive COVID-19 test. So, you know, he falls out. So at the last minute, they need a substitute. Here's Masvidal, who was supposed to be the number one guy to begin with. And, you know, now he's going to get his money. So more power to Masvidal. But the chances are he's not going to win tonight. I would love to see him win. I actually would love to see him win. But on paper, I just don't see it. Usman is just too big, too strong. He hits too hard. But if anybody could do it, Masvidal's a guy. Anyway, the co-feature, Alexander Volkanovski, the current featherweight champion, 145 pounds. One of those guys that, you know, you want to bring with you to like, a meeting. You know what I mean? Like a meeting if you were scared. This is the guy you want sitting behind you, Alexander Volkanovski. Not a big guy, but a monster. Taking on another monster. The guy from Honolulu, Hawaii. The kid with the town, sound of the islands. I'm talking about Max Holloway. Max Holloway, the former champion. Hottest fighter ever at 145, no doubt about that. I mean, he beat everybody there was to beat in the last 3 or 4 years. But he lost to Volkanovski, and that was considered a bit of an upset. But I don't think so, because I think it maybe... Maybe Matt Holloway is one of those guys that, you know, like hit his peak. And I keep telling you that you hit your peak and you can hit your peak in this sport. I'm talking about MMA. You can hit it in the gym. You just can. I mean, the damage that's inflicted on guys, the damage that they receive, and, you know, and you rest up like 3 or 4 weeks after a fight. How can you rest 3 or 4 weeks after somebody elbowing you and kicking you in the head? How can you rest 3 or 4 weeks and go back to contact training after somebody kicked you in the head or after somebody choked you out and you were asleep? How can you do that 4 to 6 weeks later? You just can't. But guys do it. And that's what, of course, is going to bring on the residual effects of combat sports. And in 15 or 20 years from now, you're going to see all these MMA fighters rolling around, you know, sounding really punchy and drunk. And I kid you not. I know the great Jacob Stitch Duran, cut man to the stars for his former cut man for world heavyweight champion, Cain Velasquez of the UFC and Vladimir Klitschko at the same time. So he had both heavyweight champions of both sports at the same time. But he tells me that he's seeing it coming in the gym, and he's honest. He sees the guys coming to the gym 6-8 months ago, and the first sign I think of guys being off kilt and not being right as far as getting popped is their eyes don't seem to be right. Their eyes don't seem to coordinate right. I remember that with James Page, the WBA welterweight champion out of Pittsburgh, California. I looked at him when he was champion, and I saw one of his eyes going the other way. Hey, what's up, man? One eye's going one eye's going the other way. Same thing with Shane Mosley. Shane Mosley, of course, took a lot of punishment. You don't think he did? Come on, man. I know he beat Oscar those two times, but I'm not talking about the two Oscar fights. The rest of the fights, he took punishment. He made himself work so hard in the gym. I'll give it to him. He was a hard worker in the gym. When you work that hard in the gym, the residual effects are going to take place. The whoopings that Ali took in the ring, you know, the beatings he took in the Ali, oh, man, Shaver's fight. No. It was a sparring that messed up Muhammad Ali. It was a sparring. The fact that day after day, you take ass whoopings in the gym, and you take ass whoopings because you're an old man. Ali was old at that point in time, laying up against the ropes, roping a dope. That rope-a-dope wasn't a strategy. He had to do it. Too old. You're tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this is your Saturday edition of your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. My name is Pedro Fernandez. More Ring Talk after the break.
I think boxing is dangerous. Any man being hit in the head, the brain's a delicate thing. I think it should be well protected. If a fella's not qualified, he shouldn't be allowed to fight. But football is proven to have more deaths. Baseball, ice hockey, horse racing, is a car racing is much more dangerous. But I would advise nobody to box if they get hit too much and it's too dangerous.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The thing is that I'm still in his brain. I'm still in his mind. I'm the guy that he wants to get rid of.
New Tower of Power, baby. Check it out. hot is happening. Look in my eyes. Emilio Castillo on lead. Lots of chicks doing background singing, some dancing. Man, this tune is happening. You are tuned. Check it out, towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Tonight, the UFC rocking and rolling on pay-per-view. Unless you've got a pirate channel, you know where to go watch it at. It'll be a pretty good fight card as far as concerned. Three title fights on top, but the fact that Jose Aldo, Scarface, the Brazilian star, of course, is in a bantamweight title fight after losing two fights in a row is a bit ridiculous, preposterous, call it what you want, but he's taking on a guy by the name of Peter Yan, and Peter spells his name P-E-T-R. Anyway, bottom line is those are three fights. Alexander Volkanovski, Max Holloway, Jorge Masvidal, Kamaru Usman, of course, those are the three title fights. Jessica Andrade in the supporting bout, taking on Rose Nahumanis. Rose is a girl that won the championship, and then, of course, she fought Jessica Andrade. She got slammed. I thought Rose was one of those guys that sort of pissed off Dana White by winning a fight she wasn't supposed to win, and therefore they put her in a fight she couldn't win the next time, and I don't think she's going to win this one either. I wish her the best of luck, but good luck on that one. Amanda Ribas taking on Paige VanZant. Of course, Paige VanZant, the cover girl of the UFC. They thought she was going to be the cover girl. Let's see if she can fight. They're fighting at flyweight. I think she dropped down 10 pounds. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. This is the Saturday, July 11th edition, 2020. My name is Pedro Fernandez. You can catch all of our shows delayed, the podcast, at anchor.com. Just look for Ring Talk Live Worldwide at anchor.com and check all our latest shows out. Of course, the archives are there. They're commercial free. Straight up, the Cut Man puts that together. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Speaking of the Cut Man, he took 2 weeks off. I needed a couple of weeks off. Of course, emotionally, I got it. I'm ready to rock. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. See you Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time on Sports Byline.